Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me, hang in here with me, as we venture deeper into life with Jesus Christ. You know, all through the sacred scriptures in the Bible, you hear, you read, you hear about many, many times that, and I'm quoting from St. James right now, draw near to God, Jesus Christ, and he will draw near to you. So let's try to draw near to him in this next hour. And I would like to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearest Lord Jesus, in your great love, mercy, and kindness, please richly bless, heal, and give peace to those who are listening and watching this program, as well as to those who work with and support in His Sign Catholic Network. May I and all the broadcasters be your instruments bringing your good news to all. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and mercy and assistance. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, first of all, let's get this out of the way. I would like to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles for their win over the Washington Commanders yesterday. A very exciting time for the Eagles and their fans here in this area and around the world. So I also have to say, go Birds. Anyway, you know, just because we're Christian doesn't mean we can't enjoy sports and all that wonderful stuff. So we're looking forward to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, and I hate to say it, but the city's going to be pretty obnoxious between now and then out of their joy. And that's okay with me as long as they behave themselves within reason. Also, I want to shout out to our friend Derek across the pond in the UK. I'm so glad you weren't struck by lightning because you listened to your lovely wife and didn't walk out the door at that precise time. The Lord definitely used your wife to save your life today. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. And I also, I had texted Derek. He had texted me back earlier, and he said that he wanted to share with me that, he quoted back to me, it was razor sharp close, the flash blinded us. I can dial in if you wish. Well, I don't take calls yet, so unfortunately, you're not going to have him talk to you particularly. But he wanted to share that it's an example of God's saving grace available in marriage. He was getting ready to go out the door of his house to go for a walk. And just before he stepped out the door, his wife called his name, and he turned around. And at that precise time, lightning hit right outside the door, and it blinded him and his wife. The flash was so bright, and he would have been hit by lightning if he'd walked out the door when he was intending to. So she really, the Lord through her saved his life. But he did say praise the Lord, basically praise God. Proverbs 31:12, she, a wife, will do him, her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. And so he says, God bless you and all of your listeners. So basically, he's a wise man. He listened to his wife, and he also gives credit to the Lord for the blessing of a good marriage, or a marriage that is taken seriously and lived as best possible in the will of God. It is quite a blessing, and you know, it's a good lesson for all of us that even though you're in a hurry, or you might be aggravated because your husband or wife is interrupting you for something, you know, it might just be that this is something you need to pay some attention to. So anyway, Derek, I'm glad you're okay. God bless you and your wife. And anyway, I want to talk a little bit today, if it's okay with you. You might not be aware of it, but yesterday was Word of God Sunday. The Word of God Sunday. You may not be aware of this. It's the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I was so excited to realize this because my passion is Scripture. I have been leading a women's Bible study for 24 years. And this coming fall will be the beginning of the 25th year at my parish. I have loved God's Word my whole life. It's been essential to me. It has gotten me through thick and thin. I have had a lot of heartbreak and challenges in my life, and His Word. He has used His Word to comfort me, to encourage me, to inspire me, to transform me. And I want to share some of that with you today because I don't know what I would have done without His Word. I don't know what I would have done. But I wanted to share with you that in 2019, where this comes from, the Word of God Sunday. In 2019, Pope Francis established that on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, which was yesterday, it would be deemed Word of God Sunday and devoted to the celebration, study, and spreading of the messages of the Word of God. Okay, so he's trying to encourage us. If you're not a Catholic Christian, you don't understand a lot about Catholicism. And one of the things that I was mistaken about before I became Catholic is that I was told that, you know, Catholics don't read the Bible, they don't do this, they don't do that. But what I found out was at every single time you go to church for Mass, which is, you know, the church service in Protestant terms, the Mass, we read from the Old Testament, we read from the Psalms, and we read something from the four Gospels. And they're all kind of related to each other, and they support each other. And it's really wonderful because over a three-year period, we basically hear almost all of the Bible we don't just hear what the pastor is in the mood to teach us that day. We hear everything. And I talked to a priest when I was first discerning whether or not the Lord wanted me to join the Catholic Church. And I said, why does the church basically have the same Bible readings at every church in the world on those Sundays and even daily masses? And he said, because then it protects you from the whims of a priest or deacon who wants to, you know, preach on a specific topic instead of focusing on what the whole church is talking about that day. There's times for that to speak about other things, cultural, you know, other things in the Bible, that sort of thing, church teachings. But on Sundays and at Mass, there's specific things that they are called to speak on. And then we get to hear the whole Bible, not just bits and pieces of it. And I thought that made sense because I could go to church, I could go to Mass in Australia and experience the same Bible readings and discussions as here in the United States. I mean, it's really worldwide, and that's really a comforting thing. You feel right at home no matter where you are. You don't miss out on anything, which is really nice. So anyway, my passion is is the Word of God. And it says, Pope Francis points out that for those who listen, the path, the scriptures are the path to authentic and firm unity with God and each other. So they're important to pay attention to. And so what I would like to do is to share a few scriptures with you to share about the power of the Word of God. All right. Now, some of you out there are probably saying, why would you pay attention to that old book and that sort of thing? Well, I hate to tell you this, but up until basically the baby boomer generation, the Bible was respected and was read and shared and was the most highest selling book in the whole world because of the truth that's in it. Even if you don't believe in God, what it tells you about humanity and human nature and how we interact with each other, how we interact with God, it's all in there. You know, our nature has not changed since the very beginning. We have the same personality traits, the same weaknesses, the same strengths as people that have come before us. What has changed is the circumstances and some of the newer challenges in life, but we really haven't, changed much as far as our nature. Now, when we're in union with the Lord, there's always transformations. There's always renewals. There's always excitement and growth and understanding, and all the fruits and gifts of the Spirit come into play, and it's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. We have a lot of hope because we see Him working in our lives. But I want to share with you this first scripture. I'm sure most of you have heard before, but it's from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active." Living and active. It's not dead words on a page. It's not just a historical document. It is filled with the Spirit of God. It really is. Okay, so the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So God's Word is alive and active. And so when we read it, when we listen to it, when we ponder it, it's effective. It's so, so powerful that it has the effect of being stronger than a two-edged sword, piercing into our souls and into our spirits and into our minds and even into our bodies. And also helping us to discern what's going on in our lives, our attitudes, where's my heart these days? What is my heart up to these days? And then there's, in the Psalms it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So His word is a lamp to our feet. In other words, you'll see the path to go on if you ponder His word. And a light to our paths. You know, the light to our feet means it'll help keep us from stumbling through life. And then the light to the path shows us the way. If we're willing to listen. If we're willing to read. And Jesus says in Matthew, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in Timothy, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or person of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable. Okay? So as we read these scriptures, we start to see the power in God's word. It may seem hidden, but it is there. And the Lord said in Matthew again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That shows you the power. His words are eternal. His words are eternal. Okay. Then we have the Lord, again, Jesus, in the Gospel of St. John says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In other words, they are for our spiritual benefit, and they are also for our life here, our physical life, our relationships, everything. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Why would you ignore these words if they can bring to you so many blessings? Then again, in the Gospel of St. John, it says, if you abide in my words, in other words, if you cling to it, study it, accept it, you know, live in it, you know, by believing it, you know, taking it into your heart and living by it. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So by being, you know, paying attention to his words, whether you're at Mass or church, or whether you're studying or reading the Bible and pondering them, you really need to ponder what you read. Don't just dismiss it. You know, ponder it. What's he saying to me? What's he saying to the world? How is he trying to love me into the best way to live? It says, you know, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you will truly be my disciples if you abide in my word. See what terrific, wonderful promises he gives us. And then we have in Psalms, David, you know, King David, the man after God's own heart. God said that himself about him. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a powerful person. The unfolding of your words give light. Understanding, enlighten us on issues, enlighten us about our relationships and our relationship with him. It gives light to us and imparts understanding, even to the simple. Okay, and then it says in Psalm, King David, he sent out his word and healed them. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. All through scripture, we see how, you know, the people, even though it was the Jewish people, we're all like this. It's human nature. We have these ebbs and flows in our relationships with God, as nations with God. You know, the people get full of themselves. They get more educated, get wiser, they get successful, and they start thinking all of this just came out of the air through their own intelligence and their own efforts, completely ignoring the fact that God has really blessed. And that if he wasn't watching over us and he turned his back on us completely, we wouldn't exist anymore. We don't have the power to do all of the multitude of things that need to be done just for us to survive in nature and in with each other. So, you know, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We see in scripture that when the people would return, his people would return back to him and repent, which really means to turn away from the things that are drawing us away from him. And that can be an attitude, it can be an action, it can be a love or whatever of something that doesn't draw you closer to God. And so that can be kind of an idol. And so when they would turn away from those things and return to him and ask for forgiveness and decide to live his way, because it is the absolute best way to live, gives you the most joy, gives you the most peace, creates unity in society. And when we do that, he brings us from destruction. Okay. And then he says, in Psalm, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. When we follow his ways, it's not about do not do this, do not do that, do not do this. Quit having fun in life. No, it's the exact opposite. If you don't do that, you are going to be happy. If you don't do that, you're going to be close to me, God. If you don't do that, you're going to be a pillar of society. You're going to bring peace and joy and happiness and order to society, in your own life, your family, and also to society. You know, and part of that is like the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, etc. Those things are not good for society. We might talk ourselves into justifying them, but they're not good for society, and God knows it, and that's why he gave those Ten Commandments, to protect us from the type of things that we have a tendency to do. Okay. Then, there are so many, there's over 100 scriptures that specifically talk about the power of God's word. And so I just picked a few out that have really meant something to me for a while. Then in Matthew again, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's a wise thing to pay attention to what God is telling us is the best way to live. Because he loves us. He sent his son to show us all these wonderful things that he wants to give us. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I choose to believe in you. I choose to follow you. Please show me who you are. Show me the way. I really need those gifts that you're willing to offer me, because I just do need them. I need them. So hear his words, do what they tell you to do, and you'll be like a wise person who built his house on a rock. Okay, then in another psalm, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. It doesn't mean that we won't have suffering in this life, that we won't have times when we wonder where he is, but he is there, and he shows himself to us one way or the other, and we can look back on things where we thought he wasn't there, and we see where he was. And if we don't, just pray, Lord, show me where you were during that whole time when I thought you weren't there. And he will, because he shows himself in a lot of different ways. And then in Hebrews again, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen, the universe, was not made out of things that are visible. And the universe was created by the word of God. And in Genesis it says that. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, etc., etc. And later on it says, he said all of these things, and by his word, these things were created. By his word. He didn't have to touch anything. He didn't have to make anything with his hands. He just said the word. and it came into being. And that's the power of God's word. So powerful, so powerful. And last but not least, we have in the book of Ephesians, like I said, there's many, many others, but in the book of Ephesians, St. Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is powerful like a weapon, in a good way, though. It heals, it restores, it reorders, it, you know, remakes all things new. And it's so powerful, so powerful. So I just wanted to share some of those with you, because my whole life, even when I was off doing stupid young adult things that didn't please the Lord, I still read his word. I still pondered it. I still prayed. And I knew I was doing wrong things, but I still clung to him in my own superficial way. And it got me through all of that. And I came through on the other side, stronger in my faith and more determined not to be in the world, of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And so I'm going to have to take a break in just a second, but I want to share two of my favorite Bible scripture verses about God's word. One's from Jeremiah. It says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I love that, and that's the way I feel. And then in Psalms, your word, O Lord, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word, O Lord, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I repeat that so many times every week. So I have to take a break, and I'll be back in just a minute. Hang in there with me. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road? As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906, or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next half hour. In the last half hour, we talked about the Word of God, because yesterday was Word of God Sunday in the Catholic Church. And I wanted to share some of that with you, because the Word of God is my absolute passion. Couldn't live without it. If there was only one thing I could take with me on a deserted island, it would be the Bible, because it has been so much to me. So much to me. It's corrected me, it's inspired me, it's encouraged me, and I'm not the only one. Anyone who spends time in the Word of God and really ponders it will have the same experiences. It's powerful. It's full of power and full of the Spirit of God. But I wanted to share with you a little announcement on February 7th through 9th at Malvern Retreat House. Kathleen McCarthy and Monsignor Stephen McHenry are having a retreat weekend. It's called Rekindle the Fire. And it says here, calling all men and women, seeking a new release of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Turn a spark into a burning fire in our hearts. So I can tell you that I have been to these retreats. Each one is different, but obviously focus on the Holy Spirit and on God's work in our lives. And I really encourage you to check out Malvern Retreat House's webpage and look at their calendar and find February 7th through 9th, Kathleen McCarthy Rekindle the Fire Retreat. And if you can go, go. There's meals provided. There's accommodations provided. There's a lot of joy and a lot of interesting things to learn and to receive there. I can't say enough about it. So check it out, Malvern Retreat House, February 7th through 9th, okay? Now, what I would like to do is I want to pray the responsorial psalm from yesterday's Mass for the Word of God Sunday. I just want to kind of finish up what I was doing in the first half hour. But I love this. It's so beautiful, and it's so true. In the Gospel of St. John, the response was, "Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life." And it is so true. And it goes on to quote from Psalms 19. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life." The last part of that psalm is a really good prayer for in the mornings when you rise from bed, or while you're still in bed before you've gone out into the world. "Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor before you, or please you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So I want to encourage you to read and ponder scriptures. There's a big awakening around the world right now to prayer and pondering the Gospels. In the Catholic Church, we call that, or pondering scripture, we call that Lectio Divina, where you read some scriptures, and then before you read them, you pray that the Lord will enlighten you and read with you and point out to you the things that you need to hear. Okay, and it's really interesting because you'll read something. You may have heard it many times before, but all of a sudden one little part of it might kind of like speak to your heart or really become alive to you. And so you ponder that. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? What are you saying to me in this? You know, and you ponder it and you take it into yourself in a special way. So, it's a fancy word, Lectio Divina, but that's basically what it is. You ponder it, you pray about it, you make it your own by bringing it into your heart. But I want to recommend some books for you, because a lot of times, you know, even the most practiced at reading scriptures in the Bible can have some difficulties with it. You know, there are some challenging parts of it. But there's a few books here I want to recommend to you. The first one is by Father Jeffrey Kirby. Father Jeffrey Kirby. It's called Understanding the Bible, A Catholic Guide to Applying God's Word to Your Life Today. See, that's the thing. We read the scriptures and we ponder them, but what we ponder should be applied to our relationship with God and with others and to our actions and how we live life. So this book is really good about that. Understanding the Bible, A Catholic Guide to Applying God's Word to Your Life Today. All right, it helps you to understand it and also helps you to apply it. So it's really, even if, you know, it's a good resource to have on the side as well. And that's Father Jeffrey Kirby. Then most of you have heard of Father Mike Schmitz, who's had the Bible in the Year podcast online. I'm pretty sure that keeps repeating and over and over again. I think that they're in the fourth year of doing that. And people's lives have been profoundly changed because you start to understand the whole process, the historical documentation and story of God providing and planning for salvation of souls all through history. Once you get to know these things, you know, so anyway, the Bible in a Year, Father Mike Schmitz. There are some resources in the form of books that you can get to follow along with him online, but I highly recommend it. But you know, maybe that's not for you, but that's one resource. And then the other is The Great Adventure, The Bible Timeline. That's the very first thing that I taught in Bible study 24 years ago. And the reason why is it starts in Genesis, the book of Genesis, and the Bible goes all through Jesus' lineage, all through the history of the Jewish nation and the world up until today. Basically. And it shows you how everything was, there was a plan throughout all of this history to get us to where we are today. And it's so amazing and so beautiful. You know, it's funny because if you believe that the Bible was written purely by human instinct and stuff, not with God's spirit involved, then you don't know the Bible. Because in this Bible timeline, in the Bible in a Year, you see a story that couldn't that evolved over thousands of years, that could not possibly been written by human beings throughout that whole thousands of years without God's intervention. The story is too complex. It's too magnificent. It's too connected for human beings to have written it. I'm telling you, it's the Bible is a profoundly amazing book. And if you get into this Great Adventure Bible Timeline or Father Schmitz podcast, you will be blessed abundantly. It opens your eyes to so many things throughout history. And you understand God the Father better. He's not this big, bad meanie like a lot of people think he is. He has loved us from the very beginning. He used to walk with Adam and Eve in the quiet of the evening in the Garden of Eden. Walk doesn't mean like walking on foot. He was with them in a special way every evening. He loved them so much. Okay, and he still loves us. Then the last recommendation is Bible Promises book. There are these little tiny books, and I recommend, there's some written for Catholics or Catholic Christians that I highly recommend. You can Google them. Catholic Bible Promises books. And they are filled with the assurances in Scripture given by God that reflect his faithfulness, love, and commitment to his people. It contains numerous assurances. The Bible contains numerous assurances from the Lord that he cares for us in every way. You can find it online. You can find these things online, but I really prefer a book because you can stick it in your pocket and you can mark the ones that really speak to your heart. And then whenever you need it, there's different little chapters, like when you're afraid, when you need encouragement, when you're mourning, when you're this, you know, all these circumstances, when you're joyful, all these circumstances in life that can be challenging and also joyful, there's scriptures that can encourage you and lift you up and can help you to celebrate, help you to endure, to persevere. It's invaluable. So I just want to recommend those things to you. And the Bible Promises books have kept me lifted up and encouraged, because we are not supposed to pick and choose scriptures in the Bible to suit our agenda. That's why it's important to kind of have an understanding of the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. And that's why I'm recommending Bible Timelines or a Bible in a Year, because it really opens your eyes to the whole picture. And if we just read snippets here and there, we're not getting the whole picture, and it doesn't mean the same to us. It's not as deep. And we want to go deeper, right? That's what this show's about. We want to go deeper. We want to have that connection with the Lord and with each other. It causes unity with each other as well. So anyway, check it out. And I'll be praying for you, because we all need this. Okay. So now what I would like to do is I would like to go back and focus on winter a little bit. 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. It was unexpected. I had something come up personally, and I could not be here. But I missed you, and I'm glad that you're back this week with me. I'm glad to be here myself. But 2 weeks ago, I brought up why I love winter, and why maybe you might want to grow into loving winter too if you don't. And the reason why is because the Lord created winter. He created it for a reason and for the good. Winter is for our good. Now, we have to be wise about it, just like we have to be wise about the other seasons, especially the extreme seasons. Like summer, it can get extreme. Winter can get extreme. So those two seasons you really have to be wise about. But anyway, I shared with you how I moved here because I lived in two states that did not have four seasons, and I really wanted four seasons, and especially the winter, because I found it invigorating, absolutely beautiful, and I really wanted that. And so here I am in Pennsylvania. But some of the ways that I enjoy the season is I actually get up before sunrise. I get up and I look out the window and I study the stars and I pray. Just the beauty and the quietness and the clearness generally of the sky, because it's cold and there's not a lot of clouds most nights. You can see the beauty of the heavens. You can, and when I go out to get the newspaper in the morning, I actually love it. I know it sounds crazy, but I actually love it. I bundle up, I go out there, I get the newspaper, and I look at the sky, and I breathe deep, you know, refreshing air, and it's thrilling to me. So, you know, light a candle, put the fairy lights all around your house. It makes you feel good when you come in the door, or when you light them at night. Relish the beauty of winter, and the stillness and quiet. And share your heart with the Lord, and He will reward you for that quiet time. But anyway, what I wanted to share with you, I found another article online, and it says, need a spiritual boost? Four ways to cultivate light in winter darkness as a Catholic. And it's been written by Bridget McCartney Nohara. Give your spiritual life a boost in these cozy months. So I just want to share a little bit of that. She lives in Canada, so they have long winters. Days are gray and sunshine seems a scarce commodity. She says, although I always have an affinity for summer, I've learned that blessings come from taking intentional action on winter days. And that's what I was talking about 2 weeks ago, how important it is. People who live in colder climates, that's what they do. They take intentional, deliberate actions and ideas to be happy during the winter months and to actually thrive. And she says she's, over the years, she's curated a tonic, a sort of tonic for dreary days, she calls it. It's my guide to turn to when the weather isn't cooperating and my energy and mood threaten to be low. By practicing these simple, intentional, habits, I can keep my spirits high during the winter months and give my spiritual life a boost, too. So she has 4 recommendations. The first one is establish rhythms of daily prayer. Establish rhythms and routines provide structure when the sun isn't dictating our days. You know, the days are shorter. And so if you have a rhythm of daily prayer, in other words, you set aside a certain time of day or certain times, plural, of day to spend some time praying, deliberately praying and sharing your heart with the Lord and getting closer to Him. And she says, a routine of prayer when I rise and rest punctuates my day when the moon and the sun do not. While I strive to sustain this year-round, I find the practice particularly comforting in winter time. Personally, I have become fond of the liturgy of the hours. And then she lists a source that's sung by Paul Rose. The liturgy of the hours is the church's way of praying every day throughout the day. And I love it myself. Praying and chanting in this ancient way reminds me that though I may fixate on my own small perspective, I'm always connected to the universal church around the world. Okay? So finding rhythms of daily prayer, planning time, is very comforting, especially in the wintertime. Find beauty outside, she says. On the dreariest days, I can find myself muttering about the supposed lack of beauty out the window. However, I'm ever astonished by how my outlook shifts upon simply stepping outside. Entering nature, I can't help but notice the beauty I believe to be absent. Jumping out to me in plain view are puddles reflecting a pretty cloud, darling critter prints in the mud or snow, rugged plants that still manage to thrive despite the abysmal conditions. Suddenly, I've shifted from feeling trapped and agitated inside my home to feeling a sense of wonder and awe right outside my door. In my experience, you don't have to wander far to experience this. I am known for my long walks. So basically, she has learned. It's like last time we were together in that book, How to Winter, that I quoted from. The author said, there's no such thing as too cold. It's you're not dressing well. You know, so if she bundles up like an Eskimo, I bundle up like an Eskimo and get out of the house. Get out of the house, and you will find wonder and beauty out there. And she even quotes St. John Paul II, Papa John Paul, and he says, our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power. Contemplation of its magnificence imparts peace and serenity. The Bible speaks again and again of the goodness and beauty of creation, which is called to glorify God. How many times do you look at a beautiful sunset or a beautiful sunrise or the snowflakes falling and you don't just, your heart just, you might not be happy, but your heart still sings at the look of it. You know, God created this beauty in nature for us to speak of him. And then she goes on again, number 3, bring the outdoors inside. She says, I love having plants and flowers in my home at all time, but in the winter months, they seem to carry more substantial weight. Every time I'm running errands, I scan for bargain blooms at the grocery store. If I don't find anything to my liking, I keep an eye out for something in the wild. If you have branches or bushes in your yard, consider snipping a few. Something that seems drab or uninteresting outside can take on a whole new perspective when trimmed and arranged in a vase. That's what my mom taught me. Never underestimate the power of a single stem. Each time I see a little stem or sprig on my desk, at my sink, or near my bedside, my spirit is lifted and my hope feels gently refreshed. There are things like up here where we live, you have, all kinds of spring flowering shrubs that you can cut in the wintertime and bring in your house and put in a vase, and they will bloom in your house. Forsythia is one of them. The yellow blooming bushes, forsythia, will bloom in your house. Cherry blossoms will bloom in your house if you cut them off and bring them in. It's such a thrill to see them. And then she goes on to say, move. There are heaps of scientific studies and centuries of wisdom that will confirm this, but personal experience is my greatest motivator. Movement changes everything. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and moving mine with intention is something I look forward to every day. Sometimes I have to get clever to incorporate exercise into my day when the temperatures are below freezing and the winds are fierce. But I find over and over that whatever I manage to do, I never regret moving. As St. Ignatius of Loyola reminds us, bodily exercise, when it is well ordered, as I have said, is also prayer by means of which you can please God our Lord. If you're able to move your body, it's always time well spent. Okay. These blues beating tactics that carry me through my winters and many winters, serving as drops of sunlight throughout my day. Though wind and chill always come, leaning into these habits bring peace and joy. I hope they do the same for you. Thank you, Bridget McCartney Nohara, for writing this lovely article. It has touched my heart. I hope it has touched yours. And then I want to share before I leave. I told you before, Father Bartunek has written meditations for every season of the year. There are four little books, as you can see, if you're watching on Facebook. And I want to share the chapter on hope that he has in here. One of the things that I love about these books is he talks about the value of living according, you know, our lives according to how the Lord has revealed life in nature. There's seasons to life in nature, and there should be seasons in our lives that are helped to be understood by nature, and winter is one of those. So anyway, in here on chapter 7, the focus is hope. I thought that might be appropriate since we're in the Jubilee year, focusing on hope. And he says, winter teaches us there's a limit to the darkness. Winter teaches us there is a limit to the darkness. The earth rotates on its axis while it orbits the sun, but that axis is tilted. If it were at a perfect right angle with the plane of its orbit, the sun's rays would hit the earth's surface with full force. Some theorists surmise that this would make life on Earth impossible. The days would be too hot and the nights would be too cold. As it is, the Earth's tilt allows the sun's rays to reach the Earth at different angles depending on the season. The gyroscopic properties of the axial rotation create slight variations within those general angles, allowing for gradual transitions between seasons. When the northern hemisphere is leaning away from the sun because of the earth's tilt, it experiences the season of winter, while the southern hemisphere experiences summer, and vice versa. Scientists can only hypothesize about why the earth rotates on a tilted axis. One theory posits that protoplanets began to form from the solid matter of the solar system under the influence of the sun's gravitational force. Blah, blah, blah. Many planets collided, blah, blah, blah. However, whatever the original material cause for this rotation, one spiritual meaning is that there is a limit to the darkness. As autumn advances toward winter, the days get shorter. Fewer and fewer hours of daylight cede to more and more hours of darkness. Around December 22nd for the Northern Hemisphere, the winter solstice claims the longest night of the year. The darkest 24 hours of the entire calendar is on December 22nd. But after the solstice, after December 22nd, instead of a descent into permanent and total darkness, the days begin little by little to brighten. Just when our hope was waning, it receives a cosmic boon. And the Lord has given us this season of winter so we can look at life in many ways. Things appear to be dead, but they're actually resting and being strengthened for when they come out of their dormancy in the spring. Winter kills off bad things, like bad bugs, ticks and things like that, diminishes their amount. There's a lot of good to winter. And anyway, he goes on to say that I don't have time to share much with you, but basically, winter helps us to understand the message of hope that God brings to us. No matter how desolate, no matter how hopeless things appear, He is there, just like life is still there in the wintertime. He is there behind all of our lives, in our lives, working in our lives, creating good out of evil, creating good things. And so in the wintertime, when things seem so horrible, don't fall for that. Anyway, I have to, the Lord loves you. May He make His face shine on you and give you peace and heal you. And until we're together next week, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. God bless you. Take care.